Well, Democrats seem to be interested in permanently legalizing all of those derelict RVs operated by homeless people, occupied by homeless people who pose many times a great public risk to your neighbors, your kids. Joining me on the line to discuss is State Senator Phil Fortunato, Republican. Welcome back to the show.
How are you? Thanks for having me on.
So under this, there was a basically committee that got together some recommendations. It's now in the hands of Senator Cooterer from Bellevue. What are they proposing exactly?
Well, they're proposing that if you have an RV and you live in it, that that's your homestead. And what that means is you can't be evicted, which that means is you can't be towed away. So if somebody decides to park an RV in front of your house and decides to plumb the sewerage into your storm sewer in front of your house, that's their right. That's basically what they're saying.
And that's assuming the plumbing even works on the RV, because there are a lot of broken down RVs that are a risk. That's why many of them, unfortunately, have electric like issues in which fires get started, sometimes explosions.
Well, I want to back up a little bit on the water issue, the stormwater issue, which happens to be my bag. If you're in Seattle and you hose off the sidewalk because somebody urinated in front of your store or crapped on the sidewalk and you hose it off, the Department of Ecology will give you a ticket for, a stormwater violation. However, these guys are parking these RVs and they are literally piping that straight into the storm sewer and nobody does anything about it.
Well, they're marginalized people. That's what I'm told by the left. Thus, they get a pass. Does when you point this out, are there any Democrats who at least are pretending to be environmentally friendly? Do they say anything?
Well, they keep coming back to the fact that, you know, as you point out, marginalized communities, these people are homeless. If we tow their RV, they can't get it back. They don't have the money. Therefore, we can't tow it. And all that stuff. And if we do this, it's going to increase homelessness because where are they going to live and all that stuff? Never mind the fact that years ago we used to have vagrancy laws and all this other stuff. You know, I was watching a 1935 movie. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was something to do with Godfrey. It was William Powell, and he was living in a dump as a homeless person. Mm-hmm. And he said, everybody in this dump wants a job. Right? Go to a homeless camp now and ask them how many people want a job. They 100%. Are undermining the work ethic of this country.
Oh, 100%. Part of it is because they are dealing with drug addiction or mental health issue that hasn't been treated. And we're not doing anything to help them. We're just saying homes that are RVs.
What do you say when you want to run a bill that requires drug and alcohol treatment and they turn around and say there's no evidence that denying them drugs and alcohol helps them? And I was dumbfounded. I looked at him and I go, but there's plenty of evidence that says if you allow them to continue on drugs and alcohol, it hurts them. So any homeless bill, any homeless approach that does not address drug and alcohol and take into consideration any mental health issues is not a viable bill because it's not doing anything. Providing these people homes, giving them, you're giving them a hotel room with three meals a day, doing their laundry and giving them cable TV. Right?
Yeah.
Why would you not want to move here? We are like an outlier in the entire country where we are a magnet for homeless people, not because we don't spend enough money, but because we spend too much money. We spend more than 4% of the state budget. And that's actually a little bit of a misnomer because it's the state budget for 2 years. And all of the counties put together is $2.7 billion. Add the cities into that, home in Seattle alone, you're over $4 billion. You could write all these people a check for $250,000, $300,000 apiece and say, go to California, go somewhere. You know, I mean, it's just insanity.
It is. And what's interesting here with the RV bill, if an RV is then considered a home, how do we call them homeless anymore?
Yeah, well, which is their argument, because They're turning around saying they do have a home. That's what the homestead exemption is all about.
But that's my point.
The homestead ruling is all about.
But that's my point.
It,
so why
their home, and if it is their home, you can't tow them.
Oh, but that is my point. So if they're now saying that we're going to declare them no longer homeless, well, then the protections and the passes that we give to the homeless should no longer apply. But what they're saying
that's
is
true, except that you also, in the same breath, said this is their home. Therefore, you can't tow it. You can't move it. You can't do all that stuff.
Yeah, but that means they're subject to taxes. It means they're subject to what you just talked about, not just putting their sewage in the drain. Like, this would open them up to actual consequences for their behaviors. But what the Democrats are basically doing here is they're creating a new category of people who have homes, and it's a special category in which they don't have laws applied to them.
Well, you know, have you ever heard the term homeless crime? That's homeless crime. I go, you mean so it's not real crime?
Yeah.
I mean, if you and I go in there and we walk into a store, we take something off the counter, we take something off the shelf, and we walk out the front door, they're going to arrest us. You and I are going to be in jail. We're going to be prosecuted. But all we got to do is dress up in rags, maybe smear some dirt on our face, walk in, do the exact same thing, and nobody does a damn thing.
No kidding. Senator.
So anyway, I got that bill 5138 that says if you illegally park your RV, it's not your homestead.
Yeah. But it's not going to pass. You know that.
What?
Shocking, I know.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm
Senator
shocked
Phil Fortunato
so
joining
negative.
Me on the line. I would, in just a few minutes we have left, I want to turn to the, since it's related, the fix for the Blake decision. What is the status of making this fix to either go back to the way things were by adding the term knowingly so that we can enforce drug laws again, or even extending what it currently is? Because if you guys don't figure this out by the end of the legislative session, drugs are legal in the state of Washington July 1st.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we know that. I'm not on that particular committee. Senator Patton would have more knowledge on that because he's the point person. I got enough problems trying to deal with homelessness and all that stuff in the housing committee.
But this is connected to homelessness. Do you think that Democrats—
I understand that, but that goes through law and justice.
But do you think Democrats are actually going to move forward with bipartisan support? It supposedly has bipartisan support. That's at least what we're being told. Do you think, though, that Democrats will allow us to return to the way it was by making drugs a felony? Because it seems like they're just against it.
Well, you have to remember that when they say there's bipartisan support, that doesn't mean there's bipartisan support for whatever the end result is going to be. So, in other words, they would say, we're opposed to this in principle, or we support this in principle. But then when it gets down to actually the nuts and bolts of what the bill actually looks like, that's a totally different story.
Do you get the sense that this session is going to lead to more bipartisan victories? Or are Democrats sort of digging their heels in?
I'm going to tell you, the people of the state of Washington, specifically, realistically, King County, put the Democrats in charge by a large majority.
Yep.
They know it. They feel that they have a mandate and they can do whatever the heck they want. They got a 5-seat majority in the Senate and 8 seats in the House. I don't even need to be here. I could stay home and eat popcorn and watch the show. They don't need our vote, except, by the way, for the constitutional amendment for abortion. They need 4 of our members. You need a 2/3 vote for that. So we may be able to stop that. But they can do whatever they want. They control the rules. They control the what bills get heard. They control what bills come to the floor for a vote. So if you wonder why a bill that really makes sense doesn't come to the floor for a vote, all you got to do is ask yourself who you voted for.
Yep.
And that's your answer.
Do you think on the topic of abortion, they need a supermajority? To your point, they need 4 senators. Are there 4 Republican senators who would go for this?
Well, we were just in caucus this morning, and there was some wishy-washy talk. I don't know whether there's wishy-washy talk for 4 of them or not, so we'll have to see how that goes. But the key point with abortion is the Bill 1851 basically said anybody can do an abortion. Pro-choice women, all agree that only a doctor. That's how far this thing has gone. Mm-hmm. No matter where you stand on this issue, I think we could all agree that only a doctor should do this. And now you have a healthcare provider could do it, which is a gift to Planned Parenthood, and they exempt them from criminal liability, not civil liability, criminal liability, which means if your kid goes there and gets an abortion at a Planned Parenthood clinic and they kill your kid, you have no criminal recourse. I mean, they'd be exempt from criminal prosecution. They wouldn't be charged with manslaughter or anything like that. That guy, Kermit Gosnell, that killed three babies that were born alive and a woman died from an abortion he did, he would be exempt from prosecution in Washington state. That's what people voted for this last November.
And as I recall, the way that they define healthcare provider, a chiropractor, someone who's a nurse, someone who...
Well, it used to say a physician. Now it says a physician, physician assistant, a registered nurse, or a healthcare provider. And then they add this caveat that says if they operate within their scope of practice. Well, I don't know what medical degree a healthcare provider has, and I don't know what kind of training a registered nurse has to do internal surgery. This is not getting your teeth clean. This is serious stuff.
Yep.
People die from this. Women call me up crying on Roe v. Wade overturn. Women that I've known for 15 years, and then she calls me up and admits to me that she had an abortion in 1988, and she could have been a grandmother. She could have been a mother, but she hasn't been able to have kids since. Now, do women know that? I got a very simple bill. It's very simple. Tell them what the risks are. And, by the way, only a doctor.
Well, that's common sense for Democrats.
How radical is that? Only a doctor and tell them what the risks are. They stood on the Senate floor and spoke eloquently about the risk. Women have the right to know the risk of breast implants. Well, why don't they have the right to know the risk of abortions?
Yeah, well, that's the difference between
abortions exempt.
Yeah, it's the difference between being pro-choice and being pro-abortion, and they're pro-abortion. We've been talking with Senator Phil Fortunato, Republican from Auburn. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.